Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hi, numerologist community. Welcome back to the podcast with me, Rose. And I'm here once again with the lovely Roy. Today, we're going to be talking about subpaths or life path cycles. So subpaths and pinnacles. Now, first of all, welcome back, Roy.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you as always. Now, this promises to be an exciting podcast in that it will help us learn how to calculate and understand the life path cycles and pinnacles. So let's get started. What is a life path cycle?
Well, let's explain it like this. Okay. The life path has three main elements. It has the month, the day, and the year of birth. These are three distinct sections of the life path number. And, you know, the life path is there with you for all your life. It's one of the numbers that can't be changed. But each of these numbers, the day number, the month number, and the year number, all have their own specific purposes and their specific times in which they are most active. Now, the reason I sometimes call them subpaths is because they're not really cycles. They're not really turning around and going back and forth in that way that a cycle does, like the seasonal cycles, you know? They really are little life paths of their own that are included within the major life path, you see. So let's talk about, first of all, life path cycles are a name that caught on when numerology started to become more popular back in the 20th century, in the early part of the 20th century. So anyway, let's talk about the month, day, and year numbers. Now, we use them in that order, not because this is the way Americans and a few other people around the world write their calendar dates, okay? That's a long story in itself about how people in Europe, for instance, think that's a kind of a backwards way to write a date because they want to go from smaller to larger, you know, and we jump from larger to smaller and then back again to larger. But at any rate, yeah. But at any rate, numerology has a reason for that, okay? When you're born and you're a baby, you know, and you're growing into a teenager and so on and so forth, you're more like a larger group of people. You have the same kind of needs. Everybody, every baby needs to be taken care of in the same way. You know what I mean? Every baby is learning from their peers and parents and so on and so forth about life. And these experiences of childhood are integrated into the personality during the period that we call the formative cycle. And that's what the month represents, okay? And so the month number isn't one we use so much to define the character as it is a number that we use to define this first formative cycle. Now, the way it's calculated is a little complicated for people at first, but you think of it like this. The first 20, after every 9 years, you come back to the same number, okay? Every 9 birthdays, you come back to the same birthday number. And if you look at it as being three cycles, three nine-number cycles, three nine-year cycles, I should say, you want to find the closest personal year one to that. Did we do the personal years yet to show how they're calculated? What you do is that you just take the month and day and add them together to find the achievement number, and then you add the four-digit year number to that, and that gives you the personal year. Okay, it's not hard to find at all. But we'll be having a podcast on that at some point in the not-too-distant future. But at any rate, we find the month cycle, and that just tells us what year it ends and what year the productive cycle begins. The number of the month on which you're born is the number that tells us about the experience you have during your month cycle. Okay. So in other words, a person born in, now that's a little tricky sometimes for some people too, because people in November go, oh my God, I'm great. I've got an 11 month cycle. That's not the way we do it. When we're calculating these cycles, 11's a bad example because it, I'll explain that in a minute too. What we do is that we count October as 10 or 1 in the formative cycle. We count November as 11 or 2 because we're adding the 1 and 1 together. But the thing of it is, with a person growing up, the 11 doesn't usually manifest until late in the teenage years, if at all. We may not see evidence of it until even later, unless the person has an 11 birthday number or an 11 achievement or life path number or something like that. If there are a lot of 11s in the chart, then you'll start seeing signs of it really early. But most of the people I know that were born with an 11-month number don't, how do I put it? There are two things that happen. One thing is that because of peer pressure, their friends and cousins and so on and so forth saying, you've got to be some kind of weirdo, you know, and because of parents with the, don't do that, why did you take the watch apart, and things of that nature, you know, to the 11 child who's really curious and experimental in their nature, they may suppress that 11. The power of that 11 in their lives until they're independent enough to know that nobody's going to bother them about it, or until their peers and so on and so forth have begun to express their like for their uniqueness, you know, because that's the main thing with 11, that people will tend to suppress its power until, you know, they discover people who recognize their uniqueness and appreciate it. That usually happens in the next cycle. If a person has a, now see the second cycle or the productive cycle, life path cycle, is judged by way of the birthday number. And, you know, the birthday number can be 11. You can also have a 22 in that cycle. But that's okay, because by this time, the person is an adult in their late 20s or something. And when this happens, it's usually the signification of the type of career a person takes on, changes in career that they may make. You know, another a person may go through their formative cycle studying in school, like someone that I know. A guy became a lawyer, and he actually always wanted to be an investment banker. Well, this is what he does, and he made that decision during the transition from his formative cycle to his productive cycle. Okay, and he's very happy in his new career, but the point of it is that this is what often happens when you come to those edges between the cycles, okay? And for instance, a person can have an 11 or 22 during that formative cycle, and it will certainly show up. It will certainly show up in their lives. The most of the other numbers we tend to either double or like the karmic numbers and so on and so forth, or we tend to just read them as their singular digit numbers. But one way or the other, your birthday number and reading about your birthday number usually is so pertinent to the middle cycle or formative cycle or productive cycle that you easily recognize it and think to yourself, oh, so this is going on right now in my life. Gee, I wasn't like that when I was a kid. This is what the productive cycle is all about. It's all about what you produce, how you produce it, and your participation or contribution to the world around you, you see. And the last cycle is the harvest cycle. Okay, I like the name of this one because really what it's about. It's about getting together all the different qualities that you've developed, all the positive qualities that you've developed. And you either continue moving along through life as a creator or producer, or you can just relax and enjoy the fruits of your previous labors. You see, many people share what they've learned in the harvest cycle, like people who retire from professional life and go into academic life, okay? Like we often see happening with ex-presidents and so on and so forth, or ex-military officers too. You know, they may retire from doing their actual work in the field and become teachers of other younger people. In other words, this is the time that the people in the Mayan cultures or other older cultures, more traditional cultures, say that a person becomes a wisdom keeper to carry on the knowledge to future generations. And this one lasts for the rest of the lifetime. It usually comes around 27 years after the productive cycle begins, and this puts it somewhere in the 50s to the late 50s, okay? So this is the productive cycle, the harvest life path cycle. Sorry about the noise. My phone was plugged into charge and it came through.
That's okay.
At any rate, this is what it is. Now, there's some controversy about the way these cycles are calculated because some people just say that the transitions come at the age of 28 and 56. Other people say that you need to, the one that I like is to calculate the nearest personal year one to the age of 27 and then add another 27, which would be, you know, 54 years old, and find the nearest one. Okay, and that's the way that you find the beginnings of the cycles. But the reason I like to find the nearest personal year one is because it shows a new beginning. You know what I mean? When people are make the transition younger, usually, like say, for instance, a person becomes 25 years old, and they know for sure what they want to do in their professional life, what they want to do for a career, whether they want to travel and bum around or get married and settle down, whatever that is, they know in advance. That's usually because the life path cycle has, the number one year has started earlier than that 28. You see what I mean? And then if we go, some people wait maybe 3 years or 4 years or maybe even more after the productive cycle has begun before they make that kind of change. And you can tell if a person's going to make a big change or not, because there'll be a big difference between the numbers. Like if a person has a formative cycle of, say, three or something like that, and their next cycle, their productive cycle, comes in at four, well, that's not much of a change, you know. But if their next one is like nine or you know, then they're going to make a big leap in what they're doing and move into a much wider range of activities than they had as they were growing up and developing, you know, and planning on their career and so on and so forth. So you can usually tell by looking at that alone what kind of change the person made. You know, if a person's born like an eight, for instance, in August, and then they have a productive cycle of, say, three, you know, that means that they're simplifying their life a bit by choosing this three. They found their niche and they work in it. Okay. So this is the way that we look at these cycles in general. And I think that these are one of the best models that we have for predicting long periods of time, or for creating the kind of background effects, or examining the kind of background effects that will be there for you all the way through the cycle. So it tends to be a very interesting and easy thing, you know, to understand when you're looking at someone's numerology chart. So you have your life path number and you know what cycle a person is in or that you're in yourself. It's fairly easy to see what the background vibration is that all the other things like the personal years and so on and so forth are working with. In other words, a person who's getting a lot of three energy from their life path cycle, okay, from their productive life path cycle, they're going to be a communicator, okay, one way or the other. Now, you can tell by the smaller subcycles than that, like the personal years, for instance, what kind of thing they're going to be communicating the most or what kind of thing they're going to be presenting to others. You know, a person might have a year in which his job entails a lot of making a lot of financial reports to the board of directors or something like that. This is an example of an 8 and a 3 or a 5 and a 3 because a 5 is an analyst. You see what I mean? They don't have to be, just because they're communicators, they don't have to be journalists or DJs or politicians. Well, DJs don't communicate much except through their music nowadays. But anyway, general rules that we've sort of gone over so far about the cycles is that the month and day of the cycle are the fruit of the life path. The month number and the day number are two very important numbers because when we add those numbers together, we get the key to all the personal years. And also, it's the same number as the first pentacle. Okay, which we'll probably do next week because this is a lot to talk about here when we get into the individual numbers. And let's see, the other thing is that when they're really different, when the day and month numbers are very, very different, it shows a big change in a person's life somewhere in the 20s, okay? It can either be a simplification or an expansion. These are two things that we really need to talk about, okay? These are two things that we really need to look at when we're looking at a numerology chart or a numerology report. Now, of course, everybody is going to want to know how to read these different cycles according to the number that they carry, okay? It's actually a very, very big topic. I could write a book on each one of them, the 9 numbers that it's possible to have, or the 11 numbers in the case of the later cycles, okay? One of the best things to start in the formative cycle with, they say that the best is 1. You know, this is some numerologist belief, because the 1 energy is about exploring and testing boundaries, and it's a very self-oriented energy and so on and so forth. And this goes good with childhood. But of course, unless the child has proper guidance, they're going to have a lot of stuff to work on in the future. During the formative cycle, though, it's a very good, happy, positive energy. Sometimes they're a little difficult for parents, especially if both parents have numbers like 2 or 4 or something like that. It may be a little difficult for them to deal with the 1 child, but they will give the kind of guidance they need to learn a good work ethic and so on and so forth. Okay. Now the productive cycle, the 1 brings a lot of positive energy to bear in the person's life. In other words, it supports their, how do I put it, activity as a go-getter. In other words, this person will always go for what they want the most, okay? And of course, in the harvest cycle, it keeps a person busy. A one keeps a person busy during later life so they don't just sit around and waste away. Okay, so the one is a good, strong energy to have in any of these cycles, as they all are. They just show different qualities, you know, of being, as far as their strengths are concerned. Now, you know, when we get to two, two generally shows a gentle or cooperative upbringing. A lot of people who have two as a month number will probably get more influence from the female parent or guardian as opposed to a male parent or guardian. In other words, men who grow up with men who are born in February and November generally tend to have greater female influences as a child. And that's not a bad thing at all. That's actually a good thing because they have less inhibitions and so on with the opposite sex, which is always a good thing, okay? In the productive cycle, it shows a person who's a team player, who's an excellent partner, who has strong intuition, especially when it's applied to business and matters that have to do with work during those years of life in the late 20s and throughout the 30s and 40s and into the 50s, you see. In other words, this is the teamwork number, and it's showing up during the time of life in which you have to be at your most productive, and nobody can be at their most productive on their own. So two becomes a very good number for that. In the harvest cycle, it's usually focused on partnership and companionship. People who tend not to do well in the later years of life are people who are alone. You know, during the harvest cycle, the two number sort of insulates people against that sort of thing. In some ways, the three does too, but I want to mention that the three is a different kind of energy from two altogether. It's about the self expression. It's about communication and so on and so forth. A lot of threes begin talking early. And the more that they're appreciated, the more success is promised in their lives. The threes, as children, are often prompted by parents or relatives or even their friends to show off a little bit because they tend to be, how do I put it, generate enthusiasm in the people around them, okay? In other words, they tend to be very fun people to be around when they're young, okay? During the productive cycle, it gives this same type of enthusiasm. As a matter of fact, their enthusiasm becomes contagious. They're the kind of person that you're sitting there waiting for the meeting and everybody is bored or twiddling around with their papers and so on and so forth. And then the person who's the three productive cycle walks in the room and does a hi, everybody, and all of a sudden the room brightens up. You know, that's a productive cycle for a person who has three as a birthday number. And that also means 12, and that also means 30. It also means 21. So any one of those is a three, and they've got it going on, okay? When the harvest cycle comes, the three shows a lot of social activity and a lot of friendship. So, in other words, when you meet these people who are in their later years and have go on camping trips with their friends of the same age and go to a lot of clubs and even go play bingo with their associates at the church or something, this is the three energy manifesting during the harvest cycle. Okay, this is what happens when you have three as a year number in your chart. Okay. Now, four usually gives a formative cycle that is filled with some kind of limitation. In other words, a lot of four children are raised in strict households or live a long way from school, so they have to go through transportation difficulties, or they're limited as to what school they can go to because that's been chosen for them already, things like that. Maybe even limitation of who to get married to because you're born into a tradition in which that's chosen for you by your parents, okay? But at the same time, most four children are born into an environment that teaches them discipline and persistence. We used to have a little book called a child's book called The Little Engine That Could, you know, about this toy train who's trying to get up the side of a mountain, and it's the smallest of all the other engines, and it kept going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And I was reading something that mentioned that book the other day, and I thought to myself, oh my God, a four must have written this book. And, because that's exactly the lessons that a young person gets out of the formative cycle of four. Okay. During the productive cycle, this is a diligent person who has a strong sense of duty and a strong sense of loyalty as it is, as well. You know, these are the people who never give up. Okay. These are the people who, a lot of them become independent and develop businesses on their own because they don't like being micromanaged. These are people born on the 4th, 13th, 22nd, or the 22nd can also be your 22, or the 31st of the month. Okay. Filled with diligence, strong sense of duty. Okay. During the harvest cycle, one usually has obligations, and instead of retiring, they usually continue to work, even if the work has to do with taking care of their home and having lots of hobbies and things like that. They always are doing something right up until, you know, the end or whatever. They have something to do because that's their lives. That's the power of this four when a person is born under a year number of four, okay? The five shows an early life full of changes. You'll find a lot of young people with five who are born to military families who get shipped around according to the parents' duty, or families in which they move often because of other work or for some other reason. And in other words, the five grows up with a lot of changes in their environment and their circumstances around them. But this creates an attitude that points toward variety. In other words, they like doing things on their own and they don't like being committed. You know, you've probably seen a movie before about a young boy or girl in their teenage years who doesn't trust others because they have this fear that they're going to go away because they moved so many times when they were young and had to leave their friends and so on and so forth. That's definitely a plot based on a five formative cycle. Okay. And during the productive cycle, it benefits from earlier development by having quick wits. But at the same time, while productive cycle people five are fast on their feet and good at thinking outside the box, they often have a proneness toward overdoing things. Okay, and this can be as far as consumption is concerned or as far as their actual activity is concerned. This is a tendency to overdo, especially when they're a five born on the 14th. They're more prone to that than anything else. Then the harvest cycle of five often means that the person in their later years spends a lot of time traveling, entertaining themselves, going on cruises, and so on and so forth, maybe because they weren't didn't have the opportunity to do so during the productive cycle, but maybe for other reasons. Maybe that's a life goal they've set way earlier, so that this is the time they're carrying it out. All right. Something told them that you're going to have some fun times coming, but right now let's buckle down and do this. Sometimes the intuition knows what cycle it's in. The six is an interesting one because it shows an early life that's devoted to helping their friends and family and so on and so forth. In fact, one numerology book that I was reading said that having a sixth child in the house is like having an extra adult, okay, or an extra three quarters or half an adult, you know, because of how helpful they tend to be. And it's very interesting that we find a lot of people who marry early have six as the month number, okay? It's very, very interesting to me that this happens. The June bride is a good example of that because, you know, June is the sixth month of the year. So this June bride tradition was probably something that was developed back in the days when people got married a lot younger than they do today. And not knowing, whether knowing so or not, they were devoting this to the sixth formative cycle, okay? They became under the influence of this six. Productive cycle of six usually promises a great rise in career. They have many friends. People who are sixes are usually pretty cheerful, and when they're not really cheerful or telling jokes and having a good time with their peers, they usually are very good counselors and very good advisors, the kind of person who always has the right thing to say at the right time in order to lift someone else's spirits. It also brings financial luck, but with six, just like two in the productive cycle, the financial luck usually comes as a result of other people showing their appreciation or their friendship or loyalty or whatever. So it's a very interesting thing. Six are good at attracting luck, but they attract it through others rather than making it through their own hard work. Okay? The harvest cycle usually has to do with harmony in the home. When you find a person that has a six-year number, it's usual for them to have a chief goal in life to own their own home and to have a big family and things like that. So, you know, when you talk to somebody and they, oh, yeah, I've got 14 grandchildren, chances are good that they've got six in their harvest cycle, you know, and or somewhere else in the major foreground of their numerology chart, somewhere else really important in their numerology chart, because six is the most domestic of all the numbers. Now, seven tends to show a formative cycle in which the kid doesn't mind spending time alone, studying, practicing, doing art, reading, learning to program computers or something of that nature. In other words, these kind of solitary activities are prominent when seven appears as the month number. These are July children. I actually know someone born in July who he and his brother used to write their own comic books when when they were children, and this is the seven. The person later became an English major and a writer, as a matter of fact, which is a seven activity. Okay, and also it's good for practicing things like music and so on and so forth. In other words, more solitary activities and more activities that cultivate the mind than pretty much anything else. During the productive cycle, it can mean working in private or in secret. And by working in secret, I don't necessarily mean being a spy, although that's a good one. But working in private, like as opposed to being a bank teller, being one of the people who sits at a desk out of the way, or a person who does most of their work in the parts of the bank that visitors to the bank don't see. You see what I mean? Working in private or in secret, or being involved in spiritual or mystical practices. Okay, it's also a good one for research. A lot of lawyers have a 7 productive period because of having to pour through legal briefs and previous cases and in order to gather all the information they need to build a good place. You'd be surprised, but people in the law profession, you'll find a lot of 7s there, probably more than you will find who run off to India to become yogis or are involved in the Kabbalah or other mystical or spiritual practices. Okay, but they almost always have an interest in the unusual, which is a curious thing. Like you'll find people who are lawyers who have an interest in UFOs or the supernatural or some other kind of phenomena. Okay, now, when the harvest cycle comes, a person usually has a strong desire to for peace and quiet and to pursue their own interests. You'll find a lot of people who retire early or writers who retire and have retreats where they sit and write, you know, and things like that are usually the product of a 7 harvest cycle. The 8 cycles, very interesting, because it might, in a formative cycle, it'll show the kind of environment that teaches children the value of discipline, the value of money, and the value of power. That doesn't mean that they're born rich. A lot of people who are born in August are actually poor at birth. And because of that experience, they learn the value of how to handle money and how to build on their own assets. Sometimes it's discipline. You'd be surprised. You've probably heard, if you ever have read one of the little astrology pamphlets, that a lot of actors, a lot of famous actors and show business people are Leos, okay? And Leo is the primary sign during August. From August to September, and that's actually the 8. That means an 8 productive, an 8 formative cycle. And what's the number one thing that a person needs in order to succeed in that kind of career? They need the discipline to memorize lines. They need the power to present themselves as a completely different person and do a good job of it, a convincing job of it. They need that kind of influential ability, and then the money just flows to them when they go into their productive cycle and are making $1 million a month or whatever people are making nowadays in the theater and in the movies. The productive cycle of 8 usually means that the person has a very materialist perspective on life. That doesn't mean that they're all going to be atheists. It means that they tend to stick with the bottom line no matter what. The ambitions tend to be for comfort, security, and stability. In other words, it's about securing the future. So the 8 is a good one for people born on the 8th or the 17th or the 26th of the month, tend to be very certain about what I'm doing now is going to be what happens to me tomorrow. So that's the 8 philosophy in manifestation. You see, during the productive cycle. The harvest cycle usually emphasizes personal security and freedom from want in general. In other words, a person who goes into harvest with a year number of 8 usually has done the footwork they needed to do in the earlier cycles to make sure that they don't have to worry about what to do from between paycheck and paycheck when the paychecks go away. Okay, they usually design their lives around the idea of establishing security in their old age. All right. Now, nine, as a formative cycle, it's usually traveled with a travel and a wide range of experience. For instance, I was born with a 9 month number in September, and I grew up with my dad being in the music business, and he used to take me on a lot of tours with him. We always spent our summers long ways away from New York, in a place where my dad had bought us a house on the beach. So we spent our summers doing all kinds of things, fishing and stuff like that. The very interesting thing about this, because I know a lot of nines, and the people with a 9 month number almost always have this wide range of experience, which leads to a wide range of interests later in life. Okay. The productive cycle usually shows an intense focus on the big picture. These are the people who always have a way of going one step beyond what the current conversation is. Sometimes they direct it to themselves. If they have a lot of nines in their name numbers, you know, they'll be the kind of people who, nines like to, people with nine in their productive cycle like to kick it up a notch, so to speak. Maybe talking about something happening in politics locally, and the nine guy comes in and starts talking about some kind of global activity that's the original source of what's happening locally. This is the nine. This is the way they think. Okay. The harvest cycle is often about letting go. And they do this through sharing a wide range of experiences with others. A lot of nines who are born into a 9 year will often end up leaving whatever they were doing professionally and becoming teachers. And teachers or broadcasters or something like that, where they can share their wide range of experiences that they've had during life with other people, okay? Now, the 11 I mentioned before, it's basically like two, but the productive cycle of 11 is different. These people are visionary and innovative and inspiring, but sometimes, because of the double ones, they're a little bit too individualistic for a lot of people's tastes. You know, they, for instance, an 11 author may come to publisher with an idea for a book, and the publisher's likely to come back with explanations of, well, I don't know if our audience would like that or not. You know, and the 11 goes to 3 or 4 or sometimes maybe even 11, but they eventually will arrive at the one who harmonizes with their visionary nature and says, okay, I'll do that. And that's when you get people like Tony Robbins and so on and so forth. The productive cycle 11 is fabulous usually, but it requires some effort on the person's part. So if they're driven, the 11 is perfect for them. People born on the 11th or the 29th of the month usually have unusual experiences during the productive cycle. And this means, when I say unusual experiences, I'm not talking about unusual experiences like having a person bring you the wrong flavor of ice cream 3 weeks in a row. You know, it's like these are unusual experiences, like experiencing the supernatural or the paranormal firsthand and being able to utilize that experience as part of their career. That's what I mean. This 11th or the 29th, very, very interesting a number to have during a productive cycle. And you can usually tell what the details are by other things in the numerology chart. But the main thing to keep in mind about the 11 is that people born on the 11th or 29th is that they will have these kind of experiences, these kind of out of the off the chain experiences during the productive cycle. Okay, the harvest cycle for people with an 11-year number will almost always have an active later life that's filled with all kinds of pursuits and probably pursuits that they were unable to have before, unless 11 is present somewhere else in the chart there, you see. Now, 22 cannot exist as a formative cycle. Can you guess why? Because there's no 22nd month of the year. Okay, so we can forget about that one. Now, during the productive cycle, it shows a time when one can build, create, or be involved in big things. And when I say big things, I mean things that affect a lot of people. So, interestingly enough, you'll find a lot of politicians born on the 22nd of the month. You'll find a lot of business leaders, film directors, things like that, born on the 22nd of the month, simply because they're involved in something that touches the lives of many other people. At the same time, people born on the 22nd of the month tend to experience a lot of stress, okay? It's the hard thing about 22 is getting, how do I put it, comfortable with having so much responsibility. But fortunately, 22 is a charismatic number, and it's usually not hard for them to collect an emotional support system, okay? The harvest cycle usually reaps the benefits of past years and uses them to pursue lifelong dreams. And in these pursuits, they will have much appreciation that comes from others. But you need to know that 22nd, to have a 22-year cycle is fairly rare in the 20th century because you won't find a lot of years in which the four digits for the year add up to 22. Okay? Let's see. Now, it's important to realize the strength of these indicators. For instance, an 11 productive harvest cycle, if this person has a lot of 11s in the chart, they can be like a genius who brings a lot of light into the world, or a mad scientist who doesn't care what his discoveries might do to people, okay? It can be a sign of a brilliant, inspirational teacher, or somebody who is brilliant and inspirational, but they use it for their own ends and don't care about what happens to other people in the process of their doing their thing or following their interests, like Hannibal, for instance. Hannibal Lecter, you know. In other words, an 11, you know, has a big challenge in life because they can be like regarded as being like a wolf in sheep's clothing. So this is why you'll find a lot of people with a birthday number of 11 who are very particular about who they hang out with and who they marry and so on and so forth, because they know internally that they need that support. And 22 is the number most prone to falling to the dark side, like Darth Vader and so on and so forth. you have to watch those 22s because they will stop at nothing in order to achieve their objectives. And that means getting what they want done by any means necessary. So as I've mentioned before, my favorite nickname for the 22 is the mastermind, and that can also be a criminal mastermind. This is what you've got to watch out for with them.
Absolutely. Okay? So that was a lot of great information. I just want to sum up just to make sure we've got our heads around this. So we've got three cycles, the formative cycle, the productive cycle, and the harvest cycle. And each one of those cycles is influenced by a certain number. So I want to take my birth, my chart as an example. So, sure. So that my birthday is 11th of March, 1989. So my formative cycle would be influenced by the month, which is a three.
Yeah, exactly.
March. My productive cycle is influenced by the day, which is the 11.
That's
and
right.
The harvest cycle is influenced by the 1989, so the year, which comes down to, I think it comes down to a 9. So that's how we really work that out. So each one of those cycles, the main theme of those cycles is influenced by those numbers. And when we go into those, there's no definitive sign of when we're in one cycle and the next, although, you know, you did talk about them changing at certain times in your life.
Around 27 or so, usually between 25 and 30, we get the changeover. It's the number one year that falls within that range, the number one personal year that falls within that range, okay? And then for the next cycle, it's usually between like 55 and 60 that we get the change or sometime around there. It depends on the number one year. Personal year that the actual change is said to be solid and done. You know, in other words, you get there. If the number one year comes a couple of years before, then you tend to start moving into the behaviors of that cycle a little bit early, or the experiences, I should say. If it comes after that period of time, then usually the person has a little bit of a lag, a lot of leftover stuff to do from the previous cycle in order to move smoothly into the next cycle. So, yeah, we can't define the actual years in our programs and so on that we've developed. For numerologists, we have the exact calculations built into them. So when it says that your productive cycle begins during year so-and-so, you know, it should be a number one year somewhere within that age range or close to that age range, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah. Just a reminder to create find your personal year number. That's your month plus your day plus the year that you're currently in, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome.
Or the year that you're investigating. Yeah,
yes,
that's absolutely correct.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I've just got a few more questions and then we'll wrap up. So
sure.
What are the keys to getting the cycle numbers to work for you as opposed to in the way of what getting in the way of what you really want?
Well, you know, I often say in both numerology and astrology, okay, predictions are fine. There was a time when all students studied were predicting because they wanted to make an impression on people to get them as their clients. But what's really even more important than what you can predict is one's experience or the type of choices they're likely to make is what you can do with these numbers, okay? There's something you can do with every single one of the numbers, no matter when it falls or where it falls in your chart. The trick is learning about how to accept the numbers as having, all of the numbers have, are like coins. There's a heads and a tails, okay? You don't want to throw them and see which one comes up and go, oh, it's a tails, bad luck, I'm getting the bad side of the eight this year. You know, you don't do that. What you do is that you accept the whole number for all its qualities, and you get some clarity on what your own goals, your life goals, your immediate goals are, and let go of the unrealistic expectations about these numbers. You know, I don't care if your birthday number is 22, you're 35 years old, you've got a gang of cohorts behind you, you're not going to get out there and be, what's his name, Walter White, what did he call himself?
Yeah,
Heisenberg,
yeah.
And get away with it. and get away with it as opposed to him who didn't. You know, this isn't going to happen because it's an unrealistic expectation you set forward to yourself. You might want to be a great chemist, but think about how your activity is going to affect other people. And also, you never should forget to work with the challenges, especially the life challenges, mm-hmm. because they can really make a difference in the quality of the cycle numbers, the pinnacle numbers, in the personal years and so on. Because when you're working with those life challenges, they fix everything in your personal numbers to they push them upwards and elevate them so that their best side, you know, is the one that's always operative. Otherwise, if you're just sort of letting these things go and letting them flow by and accepting whatever, you get a chance, you run the risk of those numbers coming along and saying, well, let's see, I've used up all my good side today. Let me hit so-and-so with this stuff I haven't used yet, you know, and you end up, you know, so personalizing them isn't a bad idea either. Think about what the, for instance, eight. Think about what the eight can do for you if you accept those positive qualities and integrate them into your life, like discipline, courage, and so on and so forth, or what it could do for you if you don't. You know, if you're standing at random and letting it happen at random and not giving it what it asks for, you know, which is what the experiences it brings are, then you'll tend to get the other stuff that it can mean, you know? So it's really an important thing. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the future podcasts that and blog posts that I'm writing out about what to do with your numerology chart.
Okay. That'll be a really interesting one. Can't wait to chat to you about that. But let's wrap up now. What's the main takeaway from this teaching on subpaths?
Okay, the takeaway. First one is to remember that the numbers having to do with the life path, which means the life path itself, the pinnacles, the life challenges, the life path cycles, the achievement number, and the personal years, these are numbers that are fixed. You can't change these numbers. All you can do is accept these numbers and work with them, because you can make any of them work for you. Your attitude and your mindset will guide you toward the future you desire as long as you're accepting these numbers and working with them instead of trying to change them into something else, okay? Remember that the whole purpose of learning about numerology is to gain controls of the tools within the chart that can lead you to success and happiness. That's the big takeaway here.
Perfect. All right, Roy, thank you so much once again for joining us today. I can't wait for our next podcast, which will be kind of along the same lines of this subject, but we'll be talking about the pinnacles next time.
Those are a lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, numerologist community, I hope you loved this episode of the podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe and show us some love, like and comment. Remember that you can head to video.numerologist.com at any time if you want to get more information about your personal numerology chart, where you'll be able to find your free video numerology reading there.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe and don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.